But whilst voices and script had been approved, one task was proving somewhat trickier. Just where do you find the authentic sound of a Vogon public address system, the world evaporating into a whiff of hydrogen, ozone and carbon monoxide, or an innocent sperm whale impacting with the surface of an unfriendly planet? They never had much call for that in the Archers.
It seemed to me that radio production was lagging way behind other areas of production. I mean, having grown up in the 60s and being, you know, obsessed with Sergeant Pepper and then Dark Side of the Moon and so on, and all of the things that could be done with sound, and you'd listen to radio and it seemed to be being really rather tame.
The BBC already had more than enough. And to last until the second coming of the great prophet Tsarkwan. But what Douglas Adams had in mind was something more original. He wanted to press a button and have this happen. Or possibly this. Or indeed this.
What's happening?
We're going into hyperspace.
I'll never be called to return to time again.
The production team was fortunately able to rely on a number of dedicated and visionary soundsmiths. And for particularly complex audio creations, there was the Radiophonic Workshop. This revered building contained the latest in sound technology, which meant that vastly high-powered special effects could be designed and perfected to meet the exacting demands of the writer's rich imagination. By a lucky coincidence, on board the Radiophonic Workshop, there just happened to be a rather nicely descended ape person called Paddy Kingsland. Who was Paddy Kingsland? Exactly the sort of person you needed to know if you were an impoverished producer trying to recreate the wonders of the galaxy for less than 30 Altarian dollars a show.
At Radiophonic Workshop, we were slightly better off than they were in the conventional studios where they made ordinary light entertainment programmes, because we had 8-track tape recorders, so you could record 8 separate things and muck about with mixing those things afterwards. We also had lots of time. Radiophonic Workshop was basically an experimental place, and there was the time to refine those kind of fiddly things. Which sound very simple when they come out of the radio set, but actually sometimes take ages to produce. I had a call from Simon Brett, who I'd worked with before, and he wanted to do this programme, which was just a pilot, called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and he said it was a sort of science fiction thing, and so he thought that Radiophonic Workshop would have some sort of input into this, and would I like to do it? So I said yes. And then I didn't hear any more. And then he called again and said, oh, we've actually recorded the voices for this programme, and can we come and see you and decide, you know, how we do the sound effects? So he came along and brought the script with him and a copy of the tape, and said, we need this, this and this. And they were the things that were actually specified by Douglas Adams in the script. And I think there were very few in that very first programme, because most of it took place on Earth in sort of ordinary circumstances. But they did want the interior of the Vogon spaceship, and they also needed the sound of the book being activated, and the end of the world.
As you will no doubt be aware, the plans for the development of the outlying regions of the western spiral arm of the galaxy require the building of a hyperspace express route through your star system. And, regrettably, your planet is one of those scheduled for demolition. The process will take slightly less than 2 of your Earth minutes. Thank you very much.
The end of the Earth was a very difficult concept. A slightly upsetting one. But obviously, basically what it was an explosion, but it just needed a bit of extra something or other in it to sort of underline the enormous effect this would obviously have on everybody.
Energise the demolition beams. God, I don't know, apathetic bloody planet, I've no sympathy at all.
Oh.
we had a build-up of a eerie wind effect, which was done on a synthesizer. Then there was a big thunderclap, followed by the explosion. And then I found an effect of a train crash, and it had the screech of the wheels of the train against the rails, and that gave a sort of shrieking noise afterwards. And there was also an animal moan in it as well, which a sort of ecological touch to the whole thing, and a big long die-away, so that at the end all you hear is this sort of eerie wind. It seemed to go down quite well at the time.